I want to talk to you tonight about a subject that I feel that I often need more of. And probably you would agree. I need more of that at times in my life. And it's the quality or the Christian character quality of courage. I think some people may have more courage than others, but as Christians, we all need courage, and especially a strong courage for these days in which we are living, when things are growing darker and evil is becoming not only more apparent, but more aggressive against Bible standards. And we need that courage. The Bible has a lot to say about courage. It tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Some translations put that discipline. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And then John 16:33 in the New Living, I have told you all these things so that you may have peace in me. In other words, not be frightened. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Psalm 31:24, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. I want to ask you the question tonight that you can only answer yourself, and that is this. Are you a courageous Christian? Are you a courageous Christian? No one ever wants to be called a coward. It's one of the most despised of all human qualities. Young or old, we will do almost anything to avoid being called a coward. I remember back in school days, perhaps you do too, although things have dramatically changed in our schools nowadays. But do you remember as a kid, someone would dare you to do something that was different or difficult or dangerous? And you would do, maybe I should say I did, some of the stupidest, dumbest things, even dangerous, when we country school kids would get together and dare one another to do stupid things. And if you didn't, you were a coward. I remember distinctly one time there was a large bridge, big bridge, and the snow would drift underneath it. And this bridge not only went this way, but it had one of these big rainbows over it. I dare you to climb up there. And it was slippery, icy. And so Larry No Brains climbed up there, and I'm standing up on the top of this bridge. And then it was, and I dare you to jump off into that snowbank down there. The snowbank was quite a ways down there. It had been a number of days since it had snowed. And I remember looking at that and then, come on, you coward. And I bailed off of there and hit the snow with my feet, and it was hard. And I barely went down, and my chin came down on my knees and knocked all of my front teeth absolutely. I could have pulled them out with my fingers. They were that loose. And I got up. I was bleeding from the mouth. And I thought to myself, even as a fifth grader, that was dumb. But I was avoiding that terrible title of coward. As we grow older, we develop more sense, hopefully. I don't remember doing anything like that in recent years. I'm not sure I could even get up there, let alone jump off. But the point that I make tonight is we all love to be brave and courageous, and yet we're finding, and we do find, that it takes as much courage to live for Jesus nowadays, I believe, as it has ever taken, and I believe it's going to take more courage in the days to come, because evil is now very aggressive, very forward in its denunciation and in its ridicule and scorn. And if we are not courageous Christians, we will tuck our tail between our legs and huddle on down the road. Now, I don't even call this a sermon tonight. It's just a lesson. You say, what's the difference? I don't know for sure. But this is more of a lesson than it is a sermon, because I want to share with you some specific steps that I think will help us to develop more courage, greater courage, and to live courageously for the cause and the person of Christ. I'm going to share with you three things to begin with. How can I be a courageous Christian? I think, first of all, we become courageous Christians when we own up to our sin. Own up to our sin. One of the things that I appreciate about our Sunday night disclosures, testimonies, whatever we want to call them, requests for prayer, is that we make ourselves open and vulnerable. We open ourselves up quite a bit in a larger setting, and I think that's a wonderful thing. I show courage by owning up to a lot of things, but particularly to my sin. I purposely choose the word sin because it's the word that we love to avoid. We like to call it temper or harsh words or unkind deeds or lustful thinking. We call a lot of things that we do that grieve and quench the Holy Spirit that we know we should not be doing or have as a part of our life. We call those by names when the Bible calls them sin. We call them blunders or character defects or flaws or temperaments or an error or an oversight or a lack of good judgment. But the Bible calls a lot of things that we minimize and rationalize and say that's just part of being humanity. The Bible calls many of those things, not all of those things, but many of those things, sin. Now, the Bible says if we claim to be without sin, 1 John 1:8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And do you know why we hate to admit our sin? We hate to admit it because we're afraid of what other people will think. They'll think we're even afraid to come up and kneel at the altar sometimes, or even to be seen raising our hands. We're a little tentative about saying praise the Lord. Why is that? I'll tell you why that is. Because it's a bondage to what others might think. They might think if we come forward and kneel, I wonder what's been going on in their house. Wonder what's been going on in their heart. And so we shy away in this day from being courageous Christians, even in church sometimes. We're afraid. We're apprehensive about worshiping in spirit and in truth. I'm not talking about drumming up false emotion. I don't like that at all. And I'm not a very emotional person myself. But I'm talking about owning. If we're going to be courageous, we have to be transparent, because God will not bless or use us if we are not transparent in our walk with Him. What are you afraid to own up to and take responsibility for? What is in your life that you haven't owned up to and you keep blaming your husband or your wife or your kids? The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, you will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Denial doesn't work in the long run. The inability to own up to personal sin and failure is a great destroyer of marriages, of relationships, and of careers. The inability to say, it's my fault, I was wrong, I did it, I sinned, oh God, forgive me, and then go to the persons that you have sinned against and ask them to forgive you. I tell you, many of God's people lack the courage to do that, even though it's a very biblical command. It takes courage to own up to the faults in your life. So I'm just going to leave that there. I have many more things written about that. One of the things I liked about the Apostle Paul was he could say in this very thing of owning up, he could say, follow me as I follow Christ. And yet he also said, I am the chief of all sinners. Do you see there the owning up of the things that he had done before? And that's what made him usable to the Lord. So I believe courage comes first of all by owning up to our own weaknesses, to our own failures, to our sinfulness, of leveling up with God and saying, oh God, I'm not a strong person. I am a weak person without your strength and without your courage in me. Second aspect of courage is standing up. So the first one's owning up to our sin. Number two, if you want courage, it's standing up for what's right. Our society has moved the boundary lines as to what truth is, as to what moral behavior is, as to what godliness is. But 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Today, many Christians, where we live in a world where tolerance is valued more than truth, where people even doubt the existence, if there is a right or a wrong, and our godless society says, what's good for you may not be good for me. Many Christians are afraid to stand up for the truth. We're afraid that there will be labeled to us, even as I didn't want to be called a coward. Now, when we get older and more sophisticated and mature, such terms, we don't hear coward much. I don't hear it much at my age. But we hear it in our society, if you stand for the Word of God, that you are narrow-minded or prejudiced or racist or judgmental or old-fashioned or out of date or bigoted. It can just be many things. And sadly, many Christians are standing down rather than standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. This past week, perhaps you have seen something that you knew wasn't right, but you passed by it rather than to deal with it. Courage is standing up for what is right. One of the most solemn verses, I think, in the whole Bible is Ezekiel 3:18, where it says, if you don't speak out to warn the evil person to leave his evil ways, he will die in his sin, but I'll hold you responsible for his death. Isn't that a frightening verse? To me, that just sends shivers down my spine. The Bible is saying, if I know the truth, if I know the difference between right and wrong and see somebody messing up their life, I have a biblical responsibility to share with them and to confront them. If you claim to be a believer, there will be times in your life when out of love, you must care enough to confront. Out of love. And the person that you're confronting may not always appreciate or enjoy that. They may tell you to mind your own business. You have to be willing to do that. So, there's that aspect of owning up and standing up. Thirdly now, because then I want to get to what can we do to build courage in our lives. I have to speak up. Own up, stand up, speak up. 1 Timothy 1:7-8 says, God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but he'd be bold. So don't be embarrassed to speak up for our master. This is in a translation that I really like. Don't be ashamed to tell people about our Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, and do it in meekness and in fear. Pastor Will shared with me this morning when we were early here at the church, he and I, Revelation 21:8. And I said, I didn't have that verse down. I'm going to put that down. But this is a startling verse about the lack of courage, speaking up and standing up for Christ. Listen to this, Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake which burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. I tell you, friends, it's a dangerous thing to be cowardly. God considers it to be in the aspect of denial. And he lumps it here. But as for the cowardly, and then he lists five or six others, their portion will be. It's a dangerous thing to be cowardly. I've had people say, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't know the Bible well enough to witness. I've never been to seminary. I want to tell you, friends, you don't have to be an expert or a Bible scholar. Do you know enough to say Jesus Christ loves you, God made you for a purpose? That isn't rocket science. Any of us can say that if we choose to. So this is the time and this is the day now to own up, stand up, and to speak up in faith and in courage. Not arrogantly, not in a belligerent manner, but to stand up for truth and for right. Gird up your loins, rise up and say to them, everything I command you, do not be dismayed. Behold, I will make you today a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall against the whole land. These are the words of Jeremiah to us. Now, here's what I really want to share in these last 10 or 12 minutes. I think there's several things that we can do. You say, I think most all of us would say, Pastor, I know I need more courage at times. I know at times I am a coward. I know at times I do not speak up when I should. I know at times I back down, back away, run off, run away. So what can I do to ratchet up my courage through the power of the Holy Spirit within me? I'm going to give you the first one. You might think it sounds strange, but I believe it's a step toward courage, and that is go public through baptism. Go public through baptism. That's what baptism is. Baptism, we hear about it today enough that makes us sick. Baptism is your coming out party as a Christian. That's when you come out. That's when you say to the whole world, to your friends and to your family, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I loved it, Roger, I think of your baptism. You invited your family, your sister and others, and they came from a long time. You wanted them to see what God had done and is doing in your life. I believe that takes courage to do that. Because where are we most often without respect? It's in our own family. Sadly, sometimes that's our own fault. But at the same time, that's where it's hardest sometimes to take a stand. Go public with your baptism. When people are baptized, they're saying, I'm telling the whole world, I'm stepping across the line, I'm in the family, I've joined the Lord's army, I'm in the fold. I'm not ashamed to tell the world that I'm a follower. I'm outing myself. Oh, don't you see that all the time and hear that till it just makes your blood run cold? I'm coming out, or I came out. Well, Christians need to come out of the closet too by being baptized publicly and saying, this I believe. I've made my decision for Christ and I'm not ashamed of it. And if you're here tonight as a believer, the Bible tells us in Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and be baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. It's an indication that you are saved. Do you follow that? Some think baptism saves you. I don't believe that. We're saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves. But it's an indication. Go public through baptism. It doesn't make you a Christian. It shows that you are one. Take that step. Now here's number two. Pray for boldness and courage. Ephesians 6:19 says, I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. It says, pray and ask God to give me the right words. This is the Apostle Paul, by the way. You'd think Paul would be the bravest guy in the world. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And yet here's a man that says, pray for me that I would have courage and boldness to proclaim the gospel of Christ. I love that. That's that owning up business that I'm talking about, that we admire people that are transparent. Pray for boldness. Pray for courage. Say, Lord, sometimes I want to tell you this. Courage is not the absence of fear or anxiety. Courage is doing what you have to do, need to do, should do in the face of a situation that you are humanly concerned about or frightened of. Courage is going ahead and doing it. It's not the absence. Some people think courage means I'll never be fearful. No, no, no. You may have great fear, but ask God that your courage will always be greater than your fears when it comes to representing Him. Pray for boldness. Number 3, expect God to use me. This is a beautiful prayer and statement in Philippians 1:20 that I really love. It says, I expect and hope that I will have the courage now, as always, to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth. You ought to write that down and put it in your mind or put it where you can read it often. I expect and hope that I will have the courage now, as always, to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth, whether that be, as we might add, through life or through death. I just said courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is not the absence of anxiety. Courage is not the absence of nervousness. It's moving ahead in spite of all of those things, because your love for God is greater than your fear for man. I love the words I read this afternoon back in Deuteronomy. Joshua and Moses. How many times did God say to Joshua and Moses, be strong, be courageous. Be strong, be courageous. I'm with you. I'll not leave you. Be strong, be courageous. So expect God to use you. You say, I don't know how He's going to use me. I don't know that I've got anything special. No, every one of us have been given at least one spiritual gift. Don't think, if you're sitting here as a Christian, you don't have any spiritual gifts. I don't know of anybody that's got them all. I've heard some people say, God's given me all the spiritual gifts. And I think to myself, well, good for you. You're one of a kind, I'll tell you that. But I do tell you this, I believe the Bible says He gives to the gift individually as He will. I don't personally believe you can even pray for your spiritual gift. I think God's got that decided, and He gives you your gift as He wills. It says in 1 Corinthians 14. If you don't believe that, read it. But I think the side of it is every one of us has at least one gift, at least one, that we can use for the glory of God and the gift of others. And then the last point is this. Remember the end of the story. Remember the end of the story. If you want to have courage, you know how it turns out in the end, because we've read the last chapter, haven't we? Remember the end of the story. It sometimes might seem like, it seems like the things that are happening today can easily make us discouraged. But you know what courage is? If you don't have courage, you're going to be subject to discouragement. Courage or discouragement. It's the opposite of courage. When you lose your courage, you become discouraged. But you and I know, remember the end of the story. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to settle the score, even the odds, balance the books. He's going to reward the righteous. He's going to punish the wicked. He's going to establish justice. That is going to happen inevitably, no matter what anybody else says or does. James 5:8 says, take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. It takes a lot of courage. Sometimes we think of courage only when it comes to witnessing, only when it comes to sharing Christ. But do you know what? It takes courage to tithe. Did you know that? I can remember when I first had to make the decision that I was going to tithe no matter what. I was going to college. I'd gotten paid for the summer, and I had a roll of $20 bills. They didn't have many 50s or 100s in those. And boy, I was rich. I think I had something like $500 for my summer's work. And I had it all in $20 bills up here. And I was in camp in Rapid City, South Dakota. And they asked the ushers to come forward, and somebody had arranged for them ahead of time. And they said, would the ushers come forward? And they had these big Kentucky Fried, because there were about 1,000 people there. And they said, they had these big Kentucky Fried buckets. Have you ever seen them? And those are great for taking offerings in large places. And no chicken, but just fill it up with dollar bills. Chicken comes later. And I remember they said, they were looking, and there was one short, and they said, Larry, would you take that over there? And so, yes, I was at the back, so I came up and brought the big bucket up. And there was, I think, 6 or 8 of us taking up the offering in this big auditorium. And we was passing it down there, and people were putting their money in, and I had gotten paid, and there's that, all of those $20 bills. I'm a wealthy man. And I didn't hear any voices, but I felt like, are you going to tithe from that? And my initial answer was, heavens no, this is not enough for my first semester, let alone give half of it away. That was my human response. And we keep taking up the offering. And pretty soon when we get to the back, and we turn around, we're standing back there, and they're playing a song and a hymn, somebody's singing while we're still taking up the offering, and we get back there. And then I felt like the voice said to me, so you're studying for the ministry and you don't have the courage to even trust me to meet your needs. There you are with $500 in your pocket, and you're going to keep it all. And I thought, no, I'm not. Don't strike me, Lord, till I get it counted out here. And I remember counting out my tithe out of those $20 bills that I had, because I was leaving from there to go directly to school. It takes courage to tithe. Have you ever noticed when you write out your tithe check that that'd make a pretty healthy house payment or car payment? Or it would more than pay for the groceries all month long? Have you ever noticed that? I guess I'm the only one. But whenever you make out that tithe check, you can look at it and think, woohoo! And then you think to yourself, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you trust me enough to return back to you what you've given me. It takes courage to tithe. It takes courage to remain sexually pure in this sex-obsessed society that we're living in. It takes courage to share your faith with an unbeliever. It takes courage to own up to your sin, to stand up for what's right, and to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, don't be ashamed of Jesus. I spoke to a lady this week. She has 2 sons, grown sons. She told me, I'm ashamed of my sons. They're worthless. They're lazy. They won't help me. They won't do anything. And I told Dory later, I said, I feel sad for her. I feel sad that this relationship that she has, that she's ashamed of her sons. I think they give her good cause, to be honest with you. But the point of it is, Mark 8:38 says, if anyone is ashamed, the words of Jesus, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. So, own up to your sin. Stand up for what is right. Speak up for Christ. What are some things that will strengthen your courage? Go public through baptism. Have the courage to do that. Pray for boldness and courage. Expect God to use you. And remember, the end of the story, He's coming again. Let's pray. Father, we don't want to be cowards. Forgive us for those times when we've been silent and we should have spoken up. Forgive us for those times when we have not owned up to our sins and have blamed someone else for our problems, passed it off as being our husband, our wife, our children, our job. I don't know what all. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to be mindful that you are the one that we want in charge of every area of our life. We don't want to be embarrassed believers at the day of judgment and have the Lord say, "Why didn't you take a stand for me and for right?" Give us the courage to lovingly speak the truth to people that we care about who are destroying their lives by ignoring you. Help us to speak up for you, Lord, and to share your love with those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.